All right. Let's go. Life is a challenge.
How do you get through it?
Laughing at the dark and dirty. We walk you through all the naughty secrets of the adult industry, and you get to be a fly on the wall with two best friends in the business of boobs.
We want to hear your dirty secrets too.
If you have stories to share, questions for us, need advice,
then send us an email to twndpodcast@gmail.com or leave us a voicemail at 702-900-6446. We'll always be laughing here. It's our favorite way to cope. If you like what you hear, hit the subscribe button, share with a friend, and leave us a rating wherever you listen to podcasts. And we thank you for coming this week.
There we go. Welcome back, one and all, to the Totally Wholesome, Not Dirty podcast. I am your host, Molly Stewart, coming to you again from the unfinished room that is somehow even more finished than the last time I recorded for you. However, unfortunately, Laura is still dealing with Laura's things, which are none of your f-ing business, and so she needs to take a little bit of time. So I'm here to take a little bit of your time. Oh, that was such a cute little segue. I want to start off by warning y'all that I don't think the lighting is right, and I don't care. I would rather not be lit well. I'm having a whole bang situation right now where, listen, I can't curl them. I can't like re-dry them and straighten them how they're supposed to be. It's just a complete nightmare because I really need to get my hair cut, but other things have been taking precedence. There's just been a lot going on. I feel like 2025, and I feel like this is maybe something that gets said every single time that there's a new year. It feels very repetitive, but like it's packing a lot in for it being only mid-February. Do you know what I mean? Like a lot has happened, not only in my life, but in the lives of people around me. And it's just a lot. And I think it would be nice to have a bit of time to like calm down and kind of assess all of the happenings going on. You know what I mean? And I just, it's too much, quite honestly. Once again, if you haven't listened to solo episodes before, I mean, I guess last week's went pretty well. Got good views on YouTube, all things considering that it was a solo, but within the first couple of days it had like more plays than some that had been up for freaking a month now. So that made me feel kind of good, but it still doesn't alleviate the nerves that I feel like leading up to just recording a solo episode, because it's like, listen, I may have some idea where I'm going to go with this, but not really. And there's so many diversions along the way that I never really know which direction I'm headed. Do you know what I mean? But does anyone, do we ever really know which direction in life we're headed? I don't think so. And I think for me, having someone in the room with me is easier, right? Because it's like having a conversation. Like, it's not really the being on camera that is nerve-wracking. Like, because I mean, I've streamed for over a decade now. I actually just recently celebrated my 12 years in the adult industry. And live streaming is fun. But the difference with live streaming, and even though you're sitting in a room alone, and with doing a solo podcast episode, is that on stream, you still have people watching you. And even though people aren't streaming alongside you, you have people who you're interacting with. So you have some feedback about like what it is that you're saying or doing, and then you get to hear from other people. But when I'm just sitting here in a room by myself, I mean, granted, the acoustics in here are amazing. I think that the audio quality is only going to improve. But I think I said auto. It's not what I meant to say. I meant to say audio. But I don't know if I did or if that's just something I'm thinking in my head. I'm not really sure. However, something that I wanted to say about filming solo and not really have anyone to bounce ideas or thoughts off of is that I wanted to thank you to those who have actually submitted emails and some voicemails per my request about having to do solo episodes. And I've been seeing a lot of positive comments, like new ratings. I've been seeing comments on YouTube videos and hearing the feedback from Patreon. And it's been awesome to get more interaction when I ask for it. It's crazy. Like, oh, I relate to this. Or I really felt this thing that you were saying. I love those comments. Now, take it one step further. be a super fan, right? Or not even a super fan, but just someone who, if something has related to you, or if you have a question about something, or you think that for whatever reason you could use my insight, I would absolutely love to hear from you. So you can email twndpodcast@gmail.com or leave me a voicemail, which is my favorite, at 702-900-6446. So I'm very excited to jump into some of the fan submissions that we have today. But first, my little Ian, my little boy, is having a little shakes. He's not sure. He's not sure what's going on, but he gets stressed. Ian is like my anxiety, right? He's also very grounded most of the time, but then he has these irrational like panic attacks. And I relate to that so very much because, hello, that's my MO, isn't it, buddy? Do you love the pod? Of course you do. Do you love ads? Not so much. Do you want to prove how much you love the pod? Then join us ad-free on patreon.com/twndpodcast. Every tier of support gets you day early releases and ad-free enjoyment. The Totally Wholesome, Not Dirty podcast is made possible by listeners like you. If you want the full VIP experience, join any of our dirtbag tiers, which also gives you access to skits, photo sets, bonus episodes, and monthly Zoom chats where we sit down, reflect, share, and more. You'll also have access to Thought Takes, a mini show where I strip down and go in hard with rantisodes. What are you waiting for? Join us and be a dirtbag at patreon.com/twndpodcast. Yeah, but sometimes we're just really calm and we can survey the world, and I'll see him gazing off in the distance, just what I assume to be his state of contemplating life and his existence within it. And then other times he's just shaking uncontrollably. I don't really know why, and hugging him doesn't help, and he won't even eat his treats, you know, he won't chew on a bone, and he just gets the trembles, and I don't really know how to help, right? But sometimes you can't help when people are in a panic attack. You know what I mean? I've had people ask before, you know who, I mean, there's been a few instances of things people have done or said that have been very helpful. But for the most part, when I'm in that state, and I think that panic attacks present differently for everyone, of course. And if you've ever experienced it, there's right? Like, you don't want to deal with that. And I'm a person that doesn't like to be seen or observed when I'm feeling those moments, you know what I mean? Because it's not, I don't even know if it's necessarily about the people around me, I assume will judge me or something like that, or if it's just something inside of me that like doesn't want to be perceived by others in a moment of what I consider to be irrational, not only fear or depression, but like weakness. And you know, people are, oh, it's not weak, but I don't care. All right. That's how I feel about that situation. I don't even know why I'm talking about this. It's because you were getting trembly. It's because you was getting a little bit trembly, boy. Yes, but that's okay because you're such a good boy. Honestly, it could just be that he's cold. Because, I mean, even I'm cold. People in Vegas, it cracks me up because it'll be like a 75 degree day or something, right? And during the winter, we don't get that many of those. And I'll be like interacting with someone from the store or something. I'll be like, oh, the weather's so great. And they're like, it's hot. Where do you live? Do you live in the city of Las Vegas? Is that the place that do we both live in the same place, or are you some weird alternate reality of Vegas? Do you not, that's hot, 75 degrees, like a nice balmy 75 with some sunshine and no moisture in the air to make you humid? That's not what do you realize that we get to 120? Do you realize 120 is coming? It's far enough away. Maybe you don't remember it from the last, I don't know, every f-ing year that you've lived here, but it reaches 120. That's unbearably hot. You're just baking alive in the oven of Mother Nature. That's repulsive. 75? 85 is nice. 95 is nice. I'm like, if you don't like 75 degree heat, why are you living in Las Vegas? It doesn't make any sense to me. People blow my goddamn mind. So, and you also have to forgive me because I'm okay. So I know I will get into the emails and we'll get into the voicemails, but I wanted to address this because if y'all have joined on patreon.com/twndpodcast, you will perhaps have taken the time to watch Girl Soup, which is like a little bonus episode that Laura and I did, right? And we kind of just sat in a hot tub and it was really windy. We talked about random stuff, and I mentioned in that, I can't remember exactly what I said or whatever, but I had mentioned that once upon a time I started writing a book, and that book spanned so many composition notebooks. Like I wrote them literally by hand. It was, you know, I would back it up to my computer now and then, but you know, it was a different time. When I was in that stage of writing that book, it was primarily by hand, right? And eventually that was lost to the times, or my mom not thinking it was important enough to hold on to, or whatever it was. And I carried with me this weird thing when it comes to big projects. And that's not even necessarily, but well, it is things like the Best Friend song, like creating the music for it. And I could see like this culmination of what I could potentially create from it, right? And I did see it to fruition. It did take a long time, according to me, but like I know to a lot of people it moved maybe fairly quickly, but I think I planned that event for a lot longer than most people even knew. So it's not like I can't see things finished, but I even sometimes have this with things like a painting, or I've done this really elaborate charcoal drawing before that I was almost completely finished with. And I was so excited because it just, I felt like I had poured so many hours into it, because I had just so much emotion, and it was beautiful. And then Julia, my youngest dog, she like walked all over it, in a place that she wasn't supposed to be. It was like on top of like a table. It didn't matter. She got her feet all mucked through it, and it hadn't been, you know, you use like a fixant when it comes to charcoal, and I hadn't sprayed the fixant yet because I wasn't finished blending. And if you've ever worked with charcoal before, it gets everywhere, and you have to be really fucking careful not to smudge areas that you don't want to smudge. And once it gets to the point of that smudging, or you've used enough pressure on a certain area of the page, or you know, different kinds of charcoal, it's very complicated, right? So when you have dog prints going all through it, and like she had licked a spot of it, it was just ruined. Like it was ruined, and I could never finish it, right? And for then, I haven't taken up a big charcoal drawing project really since then, even there's a lot of things I can think of doing. And it's one of those things that like I almost got there. It was almost exactly what I wanted it to be. And then something happened and I stopped, right? And I just kind of like gave up. Now that comes into my next project that I'm really trying to actually stick to. I don't know. How do I say this? I don't know if I'll finish it. And that's a hard thing to fucking admit. Well. Okay, but see, this is the way I have to restructure the way that I think, because I could remember a majority of what I wrote in this book, right? We're getting back to this. Sorry, this is the most roundabout way to get to the point, but that's always how I make points. I had the memories of what I wanted it to be, or ideas that I had for it. And I started just reaching this point that I was like, it's already still there. So how about taking the new knowledge that I've learned, not only from, I'm scared to say this, from my life, but like the experience of all this time and, you know, going through certain classes that I did to help with my writing, like even after this book was no longer even a part of my equation. And what if I actually just took time and it did it? So I've been writing a book, and that sounds so stupid to say out loud. Give me a fucking second. Okay. Yeah, I'm, maybe if I just keep saying it, I'll actually have to do it. I'm writing a book, and it's not just a book. The way that I see it, it could be three books, which is like really scary to say out loud, because that's like a lot of time commitment, and there's so many things that could go wrong. And I've already like taken the mental preparations to back it up like six different places, and not write just for the sake of writing. So I get these flow states, and I'm sure that y'all have had these before, where it's like it's all I can think about, and I'm like I can't neglect all of these other things that I have to do just to sit there and write. Correct. But some days I'm like, okay, I'm too fucking drained, so I'm going to not write today, even though I want to, just because I know that it's not going to be my best possible effort and it's okay to take breaks and not everything needs to be completed in a day, and most things never will be. So you have to just accept that and realize that this is going to be a really long project and you don't know how long it takes, and you can't really have any control of that, because some days you're going to be more creative, some days you're going to be a completely just blank slate, like you've never had an original thought in your life, and that's terrifying, because it's like, well, what if there's a deadline? It's like there is no deadline. It's just you trying to create things to stop you from doing the thing that if you just focused and realized that you could do this, then you can do it, right? How hard can writing a book be? I know how to write. I've written fucking many things. I've written scripts. I've written ad reads. I've written erotic fiction. All right. Like all these kinds of things, all like so many things that I could do. And why is it so scary to just be like, OK, I'm writing a book now? Because it sounds stupid, right? Like, oh, you think you could just write a book? Yeah, I think I can just write a fucking book. And I think that it's going to be a pretty fucking good book. And even if no one else ever fucking sees it, you know who will? Me. I'm doing it for me. Because I think that I have ideas and I think that I have stories inside of me that need to be released out into the universe that maybe I can't fucking do by just talking about it on a podcast or by live streaming or by like creating some fucking video or whatever fucking porn. And not that I don't like making porn, but maybe there's just too much inside of me that I need to get it fucking out or I will explode. So I'm writing a book. Several books. We'll see how it goes. I'm currently in the mode of feeling very positive about it. I'm sure that will change over time, so it'll be interesting. And that's why I thought I would mention this now, because we can see the evolution of how this unfolds over time as I finish or do not finish these books that are in my head. I spent a good 8 hours one day, not like straight through, but over the course of a day, just world building. And then I spent a different day creating entire backstories and character profiles and all of this supremely intricate detailing that I thought to myself, if I have a framework and I already know what I want to write and I already know how it starts, how it begins, and how it ends, that I can come up with everything in between much easier, right? It's just like building a house. It's like, well, you have to first have the blueprints, then you have to build the foundation, then everything else, you know, comes up as you go. And then even after the house is built, you're like, well, now there's all these rooms that I have to fill. Like maybe I want this one decorated this way, or maybe this would flow better. So I'm actually going to knock down this wall. Oh, this doesn't work for me anymore, so I'm going to change it. Like, and it's like writing a story, you know? And I think that it's going to be exciting and it's also scary, but fear and excitement are essentially the same thing, I like to think. Anyway, so that's my introduction to that little new bit of information about myself. And now I think I've talked enough about the book that may never see the light of day. So I would like to get into some fan submissions. I thought first, since we haven't had a fan submission in a while for voicemail, that we would start with voicemails and then move on to emails. So let's get into, I have to find Google Voice. I'm gonna plug this bad boy in right here.
Like a water?
No, I actually have this liquid IV. Did you know that one stick of liquid IV dissolved in 16 ounces of water hydrates faster and more effectively than water alone with the help of CTT technology? And I have some here if
yes,
you would like to
please.
Pour some into a glass. We have a lot of fun choices when you shop at liquidiv.com and use code TWND to save 15% and get free shipping on everything that you purchase. You can pick some of our personal favorites if you want to give them a try, like sugar-free rainbow sorbet. We also have a strawberry lemonade.
Oh.
We have golden cherry, wapow, and a new flavor that I haven't tried yet that I thought maybe would be beneficial to you in your time of suffering, because it is the flu season and you want to stay immunized.
Yes.
So there's a new passion fruit flavor and it has a hydration boost, but also I believe this is the one that has the vitamin C boost. Let me see. And immune support. You want to keep your immune.
It has zinc.
That, level up your immunity. So many people, when they're doing builds on things like Elden Ring, they don't think about the status effects from things that get thrown at you on a daily basis. You need to build up your immunity stats. Your immunity stats are lacking. So stack that shit up. Go to liquidiv.com. Use code TWND. Save 15%. Get free shipping and elevate that immunity boost.
Ooh, and it's got mango. Hello.
God, I could have been an auctioneer. All right. So this is the first voicemail that we have.
Hey, thanks for that. Nice to meet you. That's really cool. Bye.
Let's try that. Sorry, hang on. Let's try that again.
Hey, thanks for that. Nice to meet you. That's really cool. Bye.
Okay. Thanks a lot. Nice to meet you. Consider giving us a call. Bye. That was cool. You know, I was really excited about voicemails, but that didn't really start us off very strong. Who are you? What is the person of this call? Have we met? Why should I call you? This, y'all. All right, let's try to move on to this one, shall we?
Hello, Molly, Laura, and Dirtbags. This is John Saul calling after a long, long time.
Thank you, John.
I'm just calling to reach out. I'm going to do a little song shout out. It's been a long road getting from there to here. It's been a long road, but my time is finally near.
If I had a lighter.
I'm going through a lot with family, and that's being a big thing, and I've got a lot going on with health. I've shared quite a bit of it with everyone. Yes. On the pod, and just wanted to reach out and tell everyone how much your support means to me. You're pretty much my online family. Aww. That I can tell anything. I can't tell everything to my therapist. I can't tell everything to my family. Can't tell everything to my friends, but you folks, I feel like I can tell everything, and I love you guys. Aww. So hope you're having a good day, and if you're not, I hope the next day is a little better. Peace.
Oh, that is so cute. And, you know, that is something to be said. I hope you're having a good day, but if not, I hope the next day is a little better. And isn't that all that we can really hope for, like, in life? It's a mindset that's so difficult to put yourself in. Sometimes it's easy to just be like, yeah, well, today wasn't the best, but maybe there's this thing coming up that I'm excited about or whatever. But even if there isn't something, that's kind of the joy of life, is that you never really know what's going to happen the next day. It could be something catastrophic, or it could be something amazing and wonderful that like completely changes your life, or even just your mood for that day, you know? And it makes me very happy, John, not only that you still listen, but that you have kind of ingratiated yourself into, I don't know if that's the right word. I hope it was. I said it so confidently, but I don't, that might be the wrong word, but let's just say it's the correct word, and that you found a place in this little community where you feel safe. Cause my ghost Laura, like I was talking about last week, it's all about feeling safe, right? Like it sounds like you kind of understand that too, John. And I'm sure that many people do, where it's like, yes, maybe there are things that you don't feel comfortable like talking to your therapist about, for instance, or your friends. And in those moments, you can kind of be like, okay, well, why is that? And I think that sometimes even knowing why doesn't really stop. It's like, you know, just because you know why you can't share something with your family, for instance, doesn't mean that like your family is necessarily bad or whatever, but it's something that you know that you yourself need to work on. And one thing that I have always really liked about in the 12 years that I've been doing, not necessarily the podcasting, but things like camming and things like getting to know my fans, is that it truly is, as I have said in past interviews, a community. Now, I think there's something to be said for it's like, okay, well, obviously there's a lot of people who just follow me and watch me to like jerk off, and that's totally cool. And there's no malice behind that at all. It's my fucking job, and I'm glad that it's a service that I can provide people, right? But I have always been a person who has found my most strong-knit communities to be those that I found online. And maybe it's because there is that bit of a barrier between you and your people from the internet, right? There is a little bit of that, not necessarily detachment, but a wall that's, how do I say this? Like a wall that's good enough to keep out some of the things and to shelter yourself a bit. But you can kind of see through that and see that everybody else there that you're talking to kind of has a similar thing going on. Or even it's not necessarily the same life stuff that you're going through. There is a sense of anonymity that kind of allows you to feel like you can more authentically be yourself. And that's something that I've found in my chat rooms, on my OnlyFans, like the more and more that I do create content, whether it's the podcast or naughty stuff, it's like, you do find your people. And I have found so much more freedom in the little community that I feel that I've helped at least to grow over a decade now. I felt very at home and very at peace there. And just like I can truly authentically be myself. And that only progresses as the years go on. So I thank everyone who basically allows me the space to share those things with you. And then makes me happy as well when you feel the same way, like to some extent, where you're like, yes, this is actually something that's helpful to me and beneficial to me. And I think that that's really fucking awesome. So thank you very much for sharing, John. And despite all the stuff that you have going on with your family, if your day is not going well, I too hope that tomorrow is better because you deserve it. Anyway, sorry. I don't know if any of that made sense. Sometimes I just say things and I'm like, then it's out and I can't fully remember what my point was until I watch it later. So I hope that these solo episodes aren't like too horrendous for y'all to sit through. We'll move on to the next voicemail and I'll stop talking.
Hi, Molly. This is Mr. Matt. First off, I hope Laura gets, you know, a speedy recovery from whatever's going on with her. My question for you is, what advice or resources could you point a guy to that wants to get into the adult entertainment industry? Most of the things I find online basically say, oh, you're middle-aged? Haha, don't. So any help would be nice. I hope you get a good conversation out of this. I can't wait to listen. Okay, bye.
Okay, so Matt, I want you to take everything I'm saying to you now, all the words that are about to come from my mouth, as words of love. Now, okay, how do I say this? So here's the thing. I've had so many men over the years ask me, a woman without a penis, how do I get into the adult industry? I don't know how I... Okay, so what are you bringing to the table? So I am not a man. I have never been a man, though there has been speculation. I don't know. I have no idea. I'm also not someone who's like worked extensively, especially in mainstream, with male performers. Like, I've been on sets where, you know, men have performed, but I don't do mainstream boy girl. So when I get those questions, it always is a bit confusing to me because I'm like, I don't know what knowledge, especially with when people know what I offer in the industry, as to like how I would have this knowledge for how a man gets into porn and starts fucking. Do you know what I mean? So I guess like with any sort of performance job, right, you need a niche and you have to ask yourself, especially with the porn industry, why are you doing it? What are you bringing to the table? Do you just want to fuck a bunch of people? Because you can do that, like, and not be in porn. What are you bringing to the table? There's a lot that goes into porn, especially as a male performer. And you'll notice that there are a lot more female performers, especially known female performers, than men. Why is that? Because it's not easy. So Do you think that you can stay hard when you have a room of like maybe 10, 15 people watching you perform? Do you think you'll be able to keep yourself hard through hours and hours and hours of filming and make sure that you're able to open up to the camera and that, like, I just want to know, like, what you're hoping to get out of it. Is it just like an experience or something like that? Because the thing is, and I guess, like, as a man, like, maybe there's not as many connotations about other jobs, but you say, like, oh, like, I'm a middle-aged man, so people say, ha-ha. What is it about this moment in your life that you are suddenly like, you know what, I want to give it all up, and I want to go do porn? Because if you think you're going to keep whatever job you have now, you probably won't be able to. And even if you can, it's like, is that why you want to go into the industry? So people like know that, like, hey, this guy fucks. Like, you know what I mean? Because you can kind of have that reputation without doing porn. And having that reputation without doing porn doesn't really, it's not any worse than actually just doing porn. So is it that you want people to see you? Is it that you think that you have the ability to like really provide these amazing orgasms, that your dong is just too good to be censored any longer? Like, I think there's a lot that kind of goes into that. And I even caution against women going into the industry. And it's not because like I think it's a bad industry. It's that I think that there's a lot of expectations that people put onto the adult industry when you have a romanticized idea about what it is. Do you understand? Because the times of being famous from being a porn star are pretty much at an end. Like, you can have some level of infamy, but you also have to be someone who's going to build your brand in the social media landscape and fighting against a bunch of censorship just to make a name for yourself that is like not standing alone from the industry, but you have to have another reason that people follow you more than just that you fuck on camera. Do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like anyone who is known in the industry now is someone who has been, number one, very lucky, because like, just like with any sort of entertainment job, there is a certain amount of luck that's factored into it, whether it's just like you found these people on this right day and got placed in this scene that just fucking went off for some reason because the GIF that they made for that went viral on Reddit. And for whatever reason, that, you know, there's so many different factors that just go into the sheer luck of getting known in any sort of field of entertainment. There's just a lot of luck that goes into it. And then on top of that, if you are lucky enough to have some of those moments that start to propel your career forward, you also have to have the wherewithal and the knowledge to then capitalize on that and extend it and consistently work at it to always be bringing something new to the table, or it gets boring and people don't care anymore. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's so much that goes into the adult industry that is not just showing up, being tested, and fucking on camera. Like, I just don't think people necessarily consider all of the different reasons that they go into porn. Some people go in because they want to like be known. Some people go in for the love of the game, and that's fucking great. Some people go in just for money. And I think that putting too many expectations on the industry is going to set you up for failure. So I don't think that answered your question. This is difficult because I just want to be like, I feel like, I guess I need more context because I don't really have any useful tools for you. There's not like a wiki help for how to get into the porn industry. But if you're really hell-bent on it, the best thing that I would suggest is, I don't know, I guess making some sort of videos of your own. But in that sense, you also have to have like consenting partners. Are you going to do it without showing your face? Are you just wanting to fuck girls on OnlyFans to be a stunt cock? Like, are you going for mainstream? Because there's so many different avenues of the adult industry now. Like, so much of it has changed even from when I first started webcamming, that it's a completely different fucking landscape. Like, even now, I don't know how I, as an almost 34-year-old woman, would go get into the adult industry. The only reason that I'm still here at this point and haven't phased out is because I didn't allow myself to be phased out. It's like, and because I built over a decade of time a brand that continued to evolve and change as I did, instead of just like hoping that it was all going to happen, just doing the same thing forever. Do you know what I mean? So I don't really have much advice for you other than to seriously evaluate why you want to join the industry and in what aspect you wish to do so. And if you would like more thoughts on that, perhaps you could send me another voicemail or an email, and I could address more of that at large. But for now, that is the advice and resource that I have for you, especially as a woman who's never had to get into the adult industry as a man. So I hope that answered something for you. So I'm sorry if that is not the answer you were looking for, but that is the answer that I have to give to you, Matt. Okay. And now this is our final voicemail before we move on to emails. So thank you for calling in, Matt. And thank you also for John Saul, but also to the person who said, okay, thanks a lot. Give us a call. Nice to meet you. Bye. Very, very thought-provoking stuff from that guy.
Hi, Molly. This is Alfred. I just want to say thank you for being you, and thank you for helping me through the tough times after my stroke last year. Couple questions. When you go walking with your fur babies, who walks who? And number two, do they use the pool to have fun with you? Because I know how some of the corgis are. They like water and some don't. I'm just curious and wanted to say hi. Thank you.
Thank Bye-bye. You, Alfred. Alfred, thank you so much for giving me space on my platform to talk about some of my most favorite things in the world, which is my fur babies. Now, who walks who in a walk? Here's the thing. I don't really walk the corgis. I do now and then, but listen, walking three corgis at once who all seem to want to mostly go different directions is insanity with only two arms. Now, I do have like a split lead, so sometimes I will walk them if I'm not feeling up to what I'm about to tell you about, which is rollerblading. Now, I used to love rollerblading. I would rollerblade with my dog Buddy. I had a big golden retriever. I loved rollerblading, and it's something that I fell in love again with in my 30s. But it's actually like, it's a nice workout, and there's something that just feels so good about like gliding through, you know, the streets, and it's just really fun. And the dogs are really good with the rollerblading because they're little herding dogs, right? So they look very small and like they wouldn't be able to go very fast, but they book it. It's insane. Like, so it works really well for me because they're dogs that should run a lot. And I'm not a big runner, even though I probably should be because it's good for my health, but I don't. So it helps because I'm able to run them all individually. Then I rollerblade more, which is more exercise for me. And they all get to go on individual little excursions with me, which we can just fucking run. Now, I would say Edward is very odd. Edward can go at any pace. Edward is very fast, and usually that involves a ball being thrown, and then it's just, he's like a bolt of lightning. 1 second he's there, 1 minute he's wherever the fucking ball is. It's insane. He's very fast. But with with rollerblading, he kind of likes to stroll. So I usually take Edward first because for some reason he doesn't really want to run. Every now and then he'll like get this random burst of energy and he just like takes off, and so I'll speed up. But for the most part, we kind of meander, Edward and I. He just likes like little quiet roll-alongs with mom. And then I'll take Ayn, because Ayn is getting older now and he loves to run, but he can't go as far. And also Ayn really loves to poop on I can't believe I'm talking about this right now. He poops on every walk. I will go make him go potty before we leave. Why am I talking about this? I don't give a shit. But Ayn does give a shit, because I will make him go potty beforehand. I will watch this boy poop. And my, does he poop. Halfway through each rollerblade run, he is forcing himself to poop. Now, this means he doesn't have to poop. So what comes out is almost not scoopable in a bag. Very infrequently am I able to get him to like push through it and like actually make it home without shitting. One time he This is repulsive. But one time I kind of like pulled him along because I'm like, I know you don't have to poop. I just saw you poop a fucking mountain in the backyard. Like, you do not need to poop. You're just doing it to Mark. That's honestly what it is. He's always done this. It's very embarrassing. But so I kind of tugged him and he started running, but he like shot a poop out of his butt. But it was like not a poop. It was like a stream of poop. So I'm kind of like having this moment of dilemma where I'm a person who I keep a little fanny pack, or a little bum bag, whatever you want to call it, with poop bags, and I pick up the poop, all right? But when it is like a little weird ribbony stream of diarrhea bile, like, what am I meant to do with that? Am I supposed to try to pick it up? Because I could, but nothing's going to happen. It's just going to be smeared on the bag. Then I'm going to have this weird task of like pulling my hand out and hoping that like liquid poo doesn't get on me. So I left it because I'm just like, what am I supposed to do? I'm not going to pick up fucking diarrhea. So anyway, that's enough about Ein shitting. I feel like I've talked about my dog pooping way too many times for it to be comfortable for anyone who listens. But Julia runs me. So Julia is my youngest and she is a demon. I had a fun little experiment with ChatGPT where I asked it to draw a picture of Julia and I described her and it was pretty spot on. I was like, that looks like a baby picture I have of her. And then there's this thing that you can do where you just basically keep adding more, right? So whatever you want to do, whether it's like make it cuter, you know, make the coffee hotter, and ChatGPT just goes crazy eventually because you essentially break it and it just tries to amplify it each time. So I got it to the point of making Julia more evil and it is now the background image on my phone. And if you're watching on YouTube, David will show you the before, the first photo ChatGPT created, and then the final version, Julia, evil incarnate. And I think that photo really, really just encompasses entirely who Julia is. She is a force of nature and I love her to death, but God, she is the worst. But the runs are really good for her because then she gets tired and she's much less likely to lash out at Ein, which is one of her favorite pastimes. But she runs crazy because she runs like she weaves, right, from scent to scent. But sometimes she will book forward so quickly that she will actually pull me on my rollerblades. Like, she just has so much energy inside of her that she needs to let it out. So Julia walks me and the boys, well, they're just good boys. And then I think there was one more question. Oh, and the pool. So Ein is afraid of the pool, but he likes to go where his feet can touch. Edward drowned in the pool, not this pool, but a different pool at a different rental when he was a puppy. And I actually had to do a little CPR on him to bring him back to life. And his vet bills were atrocious. But he lived with brain damage. So I had to teach Edward. I think it might have been like 2 years ago now. I was finally like, all right, he's too afraid of the water. He doesn't know how to get out of the pool. If I leave him unattended, like, he could very well just drown again. And he's an adult dog. He needs to know how to swim. So I used Edward's ball, which is his pride and joy. He loves ball. Ball is life. And I used that to kind of teach him how to get out of certain areas of the pool. So Edward loves the pool now. But Julia, once again, evil incarnate, the pool is her pool. So if Ein is around the pool, she barks at him and nips at him. If Edward wants to play in the pool, same. She just like chases him and she will chase him into the pool. She will nip at his butt while he's swimming in the pool. She wants to be in the pool always, even when it's cold and rainy outside. If I go outside, she just starts barking at me, barking at the pool, running back and forth between the two of us until finally lunging into the pool. And then she's soaking wet. She loves to do it right after she's been at the groomer. So they do love the pool, except for Ein. And now everyone is bored and not listening anymore because I'm talking about my dogs. Honey, what does it make you think of? Sweet, delicious, sticky, licking it off your partner? If you want to have fun with a special friend or are someone who loves self-pleasure, Honey Playbox has the toys for you. Use our code TWND to save 15% on your purchase. Amp up your playtime at honeyplaybox.com. You deserve pleasure, so elevate your experience with Honey Playbox and support our show by using code TWND at checkout. Watching podcasts is fun. Watching reruns, also fun. But nothing beats a live experience. Check out our friends at Jerkmate by going to jkmte.com/twnd. Every sign up helps our show. Don't jerk alone. Get your front row seat to live events. Try a Gold Show from the comfort of your couch. Check the show description or go to jkmte.com/twnd to try it out. Oh, fuck. Thank you so much for calling in, Alfred. And thank you for, because I know that at least Alfred will be listening. So I appreciate that. Now, let us move on to
some emails.
Mm-mm-mm. Okay, so this is from Dami again, and Dami wrote in last week to ask some great questions about cunning linguists. So, hey Molly, it is Dami again. I had another question for you, which maybe you could answer either this or a future podcast. Well, here we are in the future. The question is regarding when using dirty talk with a girl. I notice it often veers into using what I consider demeaning titles. A la being asked to call her my slut, whore, and cunt. I just wonder, is that actually a turn on? I know in the heat of the moment, sometimes filters and all bets are off, but does that actually make the sex better for the woman? Also, and if it does, how would you suggest a guy get comfortable with that if he is really a gentleman and trying to be respectful at heart? I want to please them, but sometimes I stumble on it. I don't mind sexually objectifying when it is consensual. Hell, I just want to be used as a sexual object from time to time too. But again, I don't want to demean someone I care about sexually. Thanks, Dami. That is interesting. And I think it goes back to kind of a bit of what we discussed last week, where it's just different for everyone, right? Like, some people are really into being demeaned during sex. And like, I personally wouldn't want to be called a cunt in bed, but I wouldn't mind if the word cunt was used, if perhaps describing how tight said cunt was. You know what I mean? But I don't want to be called a cunt. Like, I wouldn't mind being called a slut now and then, but not like a slut, like my slut. You know what I mean? Like, you know, and sometimes I'll just fucking say it because I'm like, well, I have someone who respects me, so I'm not necessarily going to hear these sort of things. And I'll just use it myself. But it is different for everyone. And I'm not super into demeaning stuff like that personally. But some people are super into it. You know what I mean? Just like some women can't come from internal penetration, but they do want to be called a little whore. So I guess the way to look at it was, because you mentioned that you don't want to be demeaning to someone that you care about. But the thing is, if they are requesting it, that's always the thing. Like, if it is being driven that way, like, this is what I want you to call me, that implies that they feel comfortable enough with you to know that you do respect them and you are listening to what it is that they're saying that they want. Do you understand? Like, and if some things are maybe a little too uncomfortable for you, then you can also address that and be like, you know, come up with something else. It's maybe something similar, but something that feels more comfortable for you to say, that kind of gives off the same sort of vibe. And if it's like, oh, well, this isn't what I want, then maybe that's time to have a conversation about like, hey, this is what makes me uncomfortable, but I want to make you feel good. So what is a way that we could workshop this a little bit that I can bring into the bedroom the next time? Do you know what I mean? Like, because obviously you don't want to demean someone if, like, just you saying that implies that, like, hey, like, I want to be respectful of my partner. And that's totally fine and well. It's just like things with choking. Some people want to be choked, but other people aren't comfortable with being choked and, or with doing the choking, rather, is what I'm trying to say. And it's just that same thing, like different comfort levels. So maybe there are other things that you can do and discuss with your partner to figure out a way that both of you are comfortable with the verbiage being used. You know what I mean? But there comes a point where it's not, and I'm not saying that you shouldn't have respect for your partner. That's not what I'm saying at all. Okay, what I'm saying is, it is, you're not calling, for instance, I want to be called a whore. It's not like you just came up in your mind and you're like, my dick is inside of you right now. You're just a stupid, used up whore. Oh, I'm repulsed by you. It's like, you're my little whore. Oh, you love being a good whore for me, don't you? Oh, just my whore. Like, there's a difference in intonation. It's not like you're saying something out of, like, rage or anger or disgust or repulsion. You're basically creating something that feels demeaning in a respectful manner, because it's not out of nowhere. It's something that's been asked for. So by doing and performing in the way that you are requested of by a partner does show a level of respect. It's not you pushing past what it is that they've asked for and like taking it a step to actually make it hurt. You're doing something that you know will make them feel good, even if you don't necessarily understand it. It's like, I don't understand people who are obsessed with my feet. I don't understand. I think that they're really, really gross, right? But I'm not going to be like, you're a disgusting individual if you think that jerking off to my feet is okay, because that's that's not what it's about. Do you know what I mean? So I think it, once again, always, it comes back to communication. So if you are feeling weird about the things that are being asked of you, then you need to talk about it and be like, hey, this makes me feel uncomfortable. Or maybe like, could you tell me like why you like to hear this? Or maybe there's a certain tone that I could use, or maybe we could change the phrasing out a little bit, or just start kind of thinking about alternatives in your head too. And maybe try pulling one of those out as a surprise, something that doesn't feel as like intense or hard for you to say, that could still evoke a very similar reaction sexually. Do you know what I mean? So think about it and talk to your partner about it. That is always my biggest fucking advice for dealing with sexual situations, is talking to the person that you are sexually situated with. So I hope that was helpful. Let's see. And then you did have one more follow-up question that asked if butt acne was a mood killer. And that's really, really funny, actually, because no. Absolutely not. So, but what's funny about it is that I notice every little pimple on myself, whether it's my butt, maybe I got one on the back of my leg, maybe there's two growing on my knee for some reason, because like, I don't fucking know. Maybe there's one in like the center of my forehead, or one growing on the tip of my nose. And all of those, just, I can't unsee them. They might as well be tiny little flashing beacons whenever I look in the mirror, or if I see one in a photo or something, right? But when it comes to my partner, or even like other girls that I've worked with, for instance, no one stands out to me as being like, damn, she had a bunch of acne, or damn, his butt is looking super pimply today. Like, no, like, I've never, I mean, I wouldn't say that it's going to make me want to lick an ass cheek, but I'm also like, not going to, if my man showed up, pulled down his pants, and I was like, damn, he got a couple pimples on his butt, I'm not going to let him fuck me now. Like, what? He's not pimpled up all over his dick. Like, what's the problem? I don't have to look at his ass while he fucks me. Like, and every time that I point out, for instance, some acne, or if I get like some weird, I have really sensitive skin, so sometimes I'll use a lotion and just get a random rash, or I scratch my legs uncontrollably and I get bruises all over my legs, right? And those things, as I look at myself, I'm like, ew. But he doesn't notice them. My partner doesn't notice them. He doesn't point them out. And if I try to point them out, he's like, I didn't even notice. Like, so I think we often overthink the things about ourselves. But think about the fact that, like, if you saw your partner and they had like a little bit of acne, are you going to be like, damn, I can't come now because, you know, the body be bodying. What? Like, and if that's a hang up that you have, like, you got to reevaluate, because that's just fucking life. Sometimes people get pimples. Like, I don't know what to tell you. Like, you never outgrow a pimple. Like, there's this whole myth of like, oh, you have so much acne in high school and then you'll just never have them again. It all gets better. It doesn't get better, especially as a woman, because our hormones change constantly throughout the entire fucking month. So I'm sorry, we're always going to have pimples at some point in time. And sometimes it's going to be way more pimples than we're comfortable with sharing with you. But if you see them and you don't point them out, everything is fucking fine. Give one a little give one a little kiss. You know what I mean? Like, if you're going to be turned off by pimples, you shouldn't be having sex. Like, you're too immature to be having sex if, like, a little pimple is going to throw you off. Like, there's a difference between a pimple and, like, a boil or something. Like, a boil, that might be cause for concern. It might be like, hey, before we have sex, maybe we should, like, think about this big boil that's, like, growing on your butt cheek. I feel like that might be painful for you. And I don't know if I want to have it pop while we're, like, mid-thrust. You know what I mean? So... But a few little pimples is like, what's the big fucking deal? Like, there's too many expectations put on shit like that. Like, and I think also there's a thing of like everything online now is very filtered, or like even in like porn and stuff like that. Sometimes there are things like, oh, this bruise gets covered up, you know, by makeup, and we'll cover up these pimples here. And everything is so fucking photoshopped that it's like, oh, people just don't have pimples anymore. It's like, no, they just take them away. They just remove them with generative AI to make them look like they've never had a pimple in their life, that they never even heard of a pimple, that if you pointed to a pimple and said, what is this? They wouldn't be able to tell you what it was. They all have pimples. I don't know what to tell you. Every person that you've seen who you're like, damn, they just have the most flawless skin. At some point in their life, they may have had a pimple. They have had a pimple. The very photo you were looking at, they could be covered in pimples and you would never know, because everything that you see online for the most part is just like fake. And not everything, but you know what I mean? Like, there's just too much expectation put on the way people look, honestly. Like, I don't know. It doesn't bother me. Like, and if you're worried about butt pimples, because there is a thing where it's like, it is a self-conscious thing as well. There's so many like good products you can use there. You can figure out like, hey, maybe you've been using the same washcloth for 5 years. So I don't know, maybe get a new washcloth, or I don't know, try the natural sea sponges. Those are sick. I really love those. Those are what I use to scrub myself, and you know, it helps exfoliate your booty if that's a problem that you have. There's little like, what do you call them? Serums and shit that are supposed to help quell some of the redness of the acne, even if it doesn't like take it away. There's a lot of different things you can do. And a big thing to avoid, pimples too, is like diet as well. So, but some people are just more prone to pimples as well. There's nothing you can really do about it. And that's just fucking life. So don't let pimples stop you from pumping. Don't let a pimple stop you from pumping. You know what I mean? That's the way I see it. Okay. And I think that is all that we have left in our voicemails and our emails for this week. And we're coming up on almost an hour. So, I want to give a huge thank you to everyone who has submitted something this week, whether it was a voicemail or an email. And I hope that the things that we talked about today were helpful for you, whether it was you who wrote in or just you who's listening now. And I hope that the solo episode wasn't too awful for your ears to behold. So, this has been the Totally Wholesome, Not Dirty podcast. You can follow me on Instagram and X with the podcast at TWND Podcast. You can also join patreon.com/TWND Podcast to get access to bonus episodes, Girl Soup, Thought Takes, which is me doing episodes, little mini episodes in lingerie, which some will be coming this month. There's just a lot going on right now. We have skits, photo sets, a bunch of fun stuff. Community chat is really awesome, and we do monthly Zoom chats for all of our Dirtbag members. It would mean the world to me if you would join Patreon at patreon.com/TWND podcast. And please, wherever you are listening, watching, subscribing, please do be subscribing. Do be sharing with a friend and leave us a rating, leave us a comment. It really helps everything. So it's not very hard. You just hit the little subscribe button or the little thing with the notification bells. Whether you're listening on audio platforms or YouTube, any amount of subscribers helps us come up in the rankings of the things and get shared to other people. And you should be sharing as well. If you like what you hear, and your homework for this week is to love your pimples. You can follow me on Instagram at @thisredheadissfw. Please be joining next week and leaving your voicemails at 702-900-6446 and emails at twndpodcast@gmail.com. Thank you for joining, and I will see you Monday. Come. We'll be right back.
The Totally Wholesome, Not Dirty podcast is presented by TWND Productions, created and hosted by Molly Stewart, co-hosted by Laura Contreras, and produced by David Warren.